Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. I'm Jonathan Friedman, and our next guest in the studio is an exciting one, Spiro Toukakis of East Coast Seafood. And you've got a wonderful entrepreneurial story to tell. You told us a little bit before we came on. Why don't you tell our audience about your company, East Coast Seafood?
Thank you, Jonathan, and Chris and Alex. We started back in 1981, actually 37 years ago, back in a small place in Peabody on Route 1 in Peabody, Massachusetts. We took over with my partner Michael Turkistas a small fish market called at that time East Coast Lobster Pound, which we changed into East Coast Seafood. We didn't know anything about seafood, anything about lobsters. We just ran a retail shop. And over the years, we transformed it into a wholesaler by shipping by truck and by airplane lobsters, scallops, fish, and shellfish. And the company started growing with the time. We hit a few bumps on the road, like quality of the product at times with the weather, fishing conditions, tough competition, because as wholesalers, we compete fiercely against other wholesalers. The margins are very small in our industry, but we are hungry, we are aggressive, and we came to America to achieve our dreams. And we kept on pushing and expanding the company first nationwide. And then in the 90s, we started overseas. We opened up a distribution network in Paris, France, which it was successful. And we copied it in other places in Madrid, Spain, in Brussels, Belgium, and in Milan, Italy.
Mm. So you really have a foothold in the European market as well now.
Yes, we actually, for every lobster that are sold in Europe, 36% are coming from us.
Oh, fabulous. And yeah, so if anybody wants North American lobsters, you're the guy that supplies them to Europe.
Well.
or at least a large percentage of them. And not those things they call lobsters in Europe that look very different.
Correct, they're different.
So, wonderful entrepreneurial story. When did you transition from the retail shop? It sounds like you closed the retail store at some point and became a wholesaler exclusively?
We kept the retail store until the late 80s, and then we had to move out of that location to accommodate the larger volume that the wholesale business demanded. And because of that, we had to move away from Peabody. We moved to Lynn, where we stayed for 27 years. And when we made that move, obviously, we lost the... We gave up. No, we didn't lose the retail market. We sold it to another family. And we stayed in Lynn for 27 years, expanding the wholesale business. And 4 years ago, we moved back to Route 1 in Topsfield, our headquarters. And our facilities are in Europe, Canada, and the United States.
Any plans for the rest of the world?
we are working right now into create a relationship and a partnership, actually a joint venture in China, because we're already selling a lot of product there, and we want to create a partnership with a distribution network, not a facility that will have lobster tanks or pools and things like that, but it has a distribution network, particularly servicing from the big cities in China to the intermediate cities there. Mm-hmm. And those, when you say intermediate cities, we mean...
10 million plus
exactly.
people.
Exactly. We mean 5 to 10 million cities, not the 20 plus like Beijing or Shanghai is.
Right. But I would imagine with, all the wealth creation in that part of the world that there's big demand for lobster as well in Asia.
Correct.
And, obviously, you mentioned before that lobster is your largest seller, primary seller. And so how has that changed over the years? Because there's a lot of regulation in the fishing industry and a lot of limitations. And you're not fishing, but you're buying direct from fishermen, correct?
Correct, yes. Requirements both in the United States and overseas have put strict restrictions on the handling of the product. not only when it's live, but also mostly on the one that's processed and it's turned into the so-called lobster tails or lobster meat. On the live regulations, we have the Marine Stewardship Council, which is a requirement by many supermarkets that you must meet the standards and in order for be able to sell. Like, for example, you cannot go and sell to Walmart unless it's a certified product from MSC. That requires that you meet certain health regulations. The facilities that you handle the product must be very carefully designed and very safe and secure. On the lobster meat and lobster tails product line, the rooms in which we produce the product is like a surgery rooms. That's how much sterile they are, and so much clean. Literally, you literally can eat from the floor. So these requirements has affected the industry, that it has made it a little bit harder for the competition to get in, but also a little bit more expensive to operate because you have to invest in the proper.
So the good news is it's created barriers to others entering it, but the challenge is it's very expensive to set up the operation. Now, so you handle all aspects of lobster. Let's stick on lobster for a minute. So you do live lobster, you do processing as well. Some of it, I don't know if you freeze and ship.
Correct, yes.
So you're completely integrated processing plant?
Yes, anything that that is done with the lobster, we handle it. From shipping it live domestically through supermarkets or overseas through our own distribution network. And fresh meat, we have actually the world's best fresh meat product, fresh lobster meat, which we sell into the white tablecloth restaurants in the United States, in Boston area actually. You can find a Maliga seafood. And also frozen product, which varies. It's from tails, frozen tails, sell on frozen meat, which is the frozen version of the fresh meat, and also whole cooked or whole raw frozen product, which normally used in Asia and in Europe, not so much in the United States.
So you're in a not only a challenging industry from a regulatory perspective, but you've got product that the shelf life is very limited, obviously, on the fresh product.
Correct.
And so must be a lot of, secret sauce, so to speak, to make sure that the logistics are handled well so that product is constantly moving through the chain.
Correct.
You the supply chain.
Yeah, and you need to be very careful, and you need to make sure that the conditions, the temperature conditions, or in live lobsters, the humidity conditions are correct, so that by the time it gets from A to Z, it's maintained the environment that it's more comfortable, that will allow for the product to have the longest shelf life. I mean, obviously, fresh or live is different than frozen, but you need to stay on top of it every step of the way.
So why don't you, I know that you said that obviously there's been lots of challenges along the way and you've every mistake that you've made. What are some of the big ones that you learned that helped you learn and identify, you know, this is something that you know, we have to solve and we have to figure out how to do it. And it bet the farm on it type of thing, you know, because I'm sure there were some instances where you thought, if we don't solve this problem, we're not going to have a business, you know, a year from now.
Yeah. Actually, it's in the early years. I'll tell you something that's more funny. When the first time I turned the company into a wholesaler and I decided to make the first shipment of live lobsters to Sioux Falls, Maine, South Dakota. The reason of that place is because I made the contact there through a truck that was delivering product from New England, actually from Maine and Prince Edward Island, potatoes, all the way to Sioux Falls. So I made an agreement with a fish market though called Maine Lobster in Sioux Falls, and I made a deal and I sent him 200 pounds of lobsters. But I didn't think I had and I didn't know how to do it. So I put them in a cardboard box without taking the right precautions for leakage. Mm-hmm. And when the plane arrived in Sioux Falls and they took the box off the belly of the plane, the box was all soaking wet.
Out fell the lobsters.
Yes, and all the lobsters fell on a runway, on the tarmac, and they sent me some pictures. At that time, the passengers from the plane came in and picked up some lobsters and they took them home.
So your lobsters never made it to the customer?
Well, they did some of them, but actually it was... Actually, we found a funny resolution because the guy used it as a marketing tool in Sioux Falls. That equipment says lobsters everywhere, so he put it under promotion. And he told me that for a week his restaurant was booming.
Wow, that's
so
a great
that was
story.
A learning experience, which it didn't cost much, but it was a mistake that we learned something, and he helped us how to do it right next time.
And so you've created you created packaging and shipping
Correct,
materials.
Correct, yes.
And
actually, we had a joint venture with a packaging company after that incident, and we created a styrofoam box called TP5, which it took 50 pound lobsters. It was styrofoam, and with that box, we managed to ship it throughout the United States. That was before we started overseas, so something good came out of it.
So I would also imagine one of the other challenges is you know, because you're in a commodity business, you're subject to potential wild swings in terms of pricing.
Correct.
And so are you trading in markets? Are you your buyers scouring the world to see how things shift? It's you know, it's a complicated business from that perspective.
It's very complicated because, like I said to people many times, here are the rules on it. You don't know what you're going to buy. You don't know when you're going to get it, and you don't know how much you're going to pay for it. So you need to be on the alert all the time. And at the same time, you need to have the outlet ready because it's a highly perishable product. So the weather is a big factor in our business. The weather is going to tell us what fishing conditions will be, and the fishing conditions will tell us when the product will be landing on the shore. After you know when the boats are going to go out, and then you need to have the distribution system in place to really to do the shipping.
So what I'm hearing you say is the easiest part is the processing,
because
you can control that,
yeah.
Right? You could see it, yes. You could touch it, you can control it.
Yeah, it's a resource-driven business. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. It's like a stock market, except it's perishable stock market.
Right.
Imagine the swings the stock market has. Imagine, but add to that, in addition to the swings, that the product dies unless you handle it properly.
Right, and suddenly goes from very valuable to no value.
Yeah. Yes.
Or limited value.
I have seen it going... in a matter of 48 hours, $3 a pound up or $3 a pound down.
Mm.
In fact, it was the second part of March, that's where big swings happen before the fishing starts in the spring. When I've seen the price in the second part of March to go from $6 to $15.
Wow.
And from $6 down to $3.
So is the type of thing, is there a futures market that you can actually buy in advance?
Not really.
And speculate? Or?
No, but actually that's a good question. That's a good point, Jonathan. There was a company that was in the future that wanted to start doing that. And they spent considerable amount of time. I think they spent 18 months. And they engaged fishermen and they engaged wholesalers into that, but unfortunately they couldn't make it go because it was totally unpredictable.
Right, very difficult to evaluate, you know, who knows, because you said so many variables involved.
There's many variables, and you can imagine that maybe if not the most important, but one of the most important factors of how you're going to do in your business is the weather.
Right, and we all know you can't control that.
Correct.
Wonderful. Really a fabulous story. And I don't know if you want to share with our audience the growth in your company, but if you want to share the number of employees, you're taking care of a lot of families out there.
The company started in 1981. We started with 4 employees. We bought 210,000 pound of lobsters in 1981 for $630,000 in sales. Last year, we handled 35 million pound of lobsters, 11 million pound of scallops for sales just about 400 million, I think 397. And from 4 employees, we grew to 751 in the United States, Canada, and Europe.
Wonderful. Well, a fabulous success story, and you know, a real pleasure having you in and hearing about it, and I look forward to more from you in the future.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Our pleasure. Why don't you tell our audience, you know, we've got a worldwide audience. If there's anybody out there looking to buy from a wholesaler or to you know, change their suppliers in the seafood industry, what's the best way for them to reach out to you?
Spiros@myseafood.com or Isco Seafood website, which is iscoseafood.com. And through you guys, you are the best communicators.
Fabulous. Our guest on Radio Entrepreneurs has been Spiro Toukakis of East Coast Seafoods, and it's been a pleasure having you on Radio Entrepreneurs, and we wish you continued success in your endeavors.
Thank you, Jonathan. Good luck with your programs.
Thank you. And we'll be right back with another segment on Radio Entrepreneurs.